Well, dear listeners, I have a bit of very bad news to relay to you. I recently became aware that I have contracted Havana syndrome, I was in Cuba, and I was I was just going through my morning routine. I was on my fourth mimosa, and I had just finished planting some landmines around an orphanage, and I started to feel kind of icky. I determined that it's Havana syndrome. I've been shot with a deadly Cuban brain ray, and I probably need advanced healthcare for free for this. So just wanted to let you guys know, keep you in the loop.
I like how the entire premise of that bullshit was, as an American citizen, you're not entitled to healthcare unless you're going to go and fucking terrorize a third world country. Then, you know, we'll foot that bill. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I really hope whatever state apparatus of the countries that I stay in adopts the same thing, because finally my degenerate alcoholism can turn into a real disability, and I can retire and not have to do this goddamn podcasting thing anymore. I will force Hakeem and JT to pay off disability payments to me, and they will not be able to fight it because they're communists, and I will make sure they're canceled everywhere. So it just works so well for me. Thank you, CIA.
That's the big exactly. Brain play. Big brain.
Exactly right. So the biggest recent L of the CIA has basically been Havana these nuts. That's what we have to share. I'm
sorry, this is stupid. Actually, very specifically, they just said Havana not getting these nuts, which we can...
Yeah,
exactly right, yeah. For those who are unaware, there was a conspiracy theory of sorts that was actually endorsed by the American government. Cuban officials or Cuban intelligence agencies and the government had used some special brain ray or some fucking bullshit, some 1950s cartoon bullshit to basically, was this supposed to just make them feel bad, or was it supposed to cause heart attacks? I don't know what the fuck
it
is, but...
They couldn't describe it. They said that it just had, you know, vague feelings of sickness or, you know, discomfort, and the symptoms varied by person, so it's very hard to nail down exactly what this ray does. But so it's obviously just these dudes who maybe grew a conscience for, you know, murdering these people in foreign lands. But no, it's got to be like a death ray.
Yeah, exactly right. Basically, what they're saying is that the Cubans have developed a death note, and they say there's no innovation under socialism. Sorry, Gupta, you're going to say something.
No, you're fine. And it's not even just like these commandos or these big CIA or foreign intelligence officers. It's these people that like work all day, all night in their office in whatever embassy in whatever developing country they've been placed in, that obviously fucking probably despise their job, and they just want to go back to Wisconsin and see their fucking dog or whatever. So this was an ideal way to because they've already been like drinking themselves under the table and sleeping, going to bed at like 4 a.m. and their body and stress levels were already off the charts. So why not just tell your superior, hey, dude, I heard this Havana syndrome thing. I probably have it. And when they test them, literally their body is basically decaying, but not because they have Havana syndrome, but because the life in American bureaucracy would lead anybody to such a lifestyle. So it ended up kind of, maybe, you know, we shouldn't be too harsh on it, maybe it led to some people getting saved from a career in a cubicle over in Peru or something.
I just wanted to look this up if there's anything. For those who are unaware, this website called PubMed, and it's like a National Library of Medicine and whatnot related part in the U.S., and you can look up basically medical research. And I just wanted to see if they have anything written on Havana syndrome. And the first article that comes up, the first bit of research that comes up is challenging the diagnosis of Havana syndrome, in quotation marks, as a novel clinical entity. That's science speak. That's science speak for Havana syndrome is bullshit, and here's why. Oh fuck! No, hold on. There's another one. There's a 2018 study titled "Neurological Manifestations Among Us." Really, it says
among us. Havana syndrome.
Neurological manifestations. It says neurological manifestations among U.S. government personnel, but among and U.S.
Havana Among Us. I see Havana everywhere. Bruda, Bruda, there is the Havana Among Us.
Hold on, hold on. Findings. In this case study, this case series of 21 individuals exposed to directional, audible, and sensory phenomena, a constellation of acute and persistent signs and symptoms were identified in the absence of an associated history of blunt-head trauma. Are you sure about that? Following exposure, patients experienced cognitive, vestibular, and oculomotor dysfunction, along with auditory symptoms, sleep abnormalities, and headache. Okay. Hold on. Did they
have literally depression. They just have
they're
depression.
Hungover.
Or
they're just hungover.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh. It's fucking phenomenal. It's so insane that even the CIA itself had to go back on it. It's like, okay, State Department, I know you really want to push this thing, but this is too much even for us. Literally death rays, fucking brain scramblers. Trust us. I mean, if there's one organization on planet Earth that we should trust when it comes to them saying brain scramblers don't work, is the CIA, because trust me, friends, they fucking tried to make this shit. They have tried. So if they say, okay, this thing doesn't exist, then it probably doesn't fucking exist.
Hold on. I need to read something to you. One part of this stupid study, it just talks about sleep and how their sleep was affected. Now, Yugopnik, tell me if this sounds like you a bit. Okay. Individuals commonly reported issues with sleep, including reduced sleep duration and difficulty falling asleep. In addition, individuals experienced significant daytime fatigue. Most individuals required pharmacological intervention to improve subjective report of sleep architecture. This is you and your fucking catnip.
Exactly.
You unironically have Anna syndrome. Okay, we've found the diagnosis.
Oh god, it's spreading. He's got it too.
Fuck, they'll find out I'm a fucking CIA asset. Microphone is on the nap. No, sorry. Yep.
There's one bit, and I'm just gonna tell you this is such bad medicine. I can tell you it's bullshit. For practicing clinicians, so people like myself, if a patient presents reporting a similar potential exposure and symptoms similar to those observed in mild traumatic brain injury, in addition to a thorough history, objective evaluation should include screening assessments of vestibular, oculomotor, and cognitive function. So basically they're saying do a regular neurological test, fair enough. And then they say, based on findings of this assessment, appropriate referrals to subspecialists, blah, blah, blah. So basically they're telling you, you see somebody who has these symptoms, you do your proper neurological testing, and then you refer them to specialists if need be. But no part of this do they say, hey, this diagnosis is most likely bullshit and should be very low on your differential. sorry. This is so stupid.
The perks of having a doctor on the podcast.
Finally, there are some perks to this. Except for him constantly asking to put his finger up my ass. Oh, I need to check for bumps.
Please.
He checked like 20, checks 20 times a day. And sometimes he checks by like moving it like constantly. And then he loops it up and there's like four fingers. I mean, how big are these bumps, dude?
And then I love... Sorry. There's another article. It's on The Lancet. Oh, no. The fucking Lancet published this. Okay. Havana syndrome might be the result of energy pulses. Oh, God.
This is some Novak Djokovic. Okay. Novak Djokovic believes in energy. Back and represent. Fucking Havana syndrome started from here as well. Just like the whole planet. Yeah, boy. God is a Serb. Yeah, continue.
All right. Jesus Christ. Okay, that's... Oh, God.
Well,
but yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I think there's one Havana syndrome we can all get behind. And that's having a couple of beers.
Hey. Cold ones with the boys.
Yeah, boy.
All right. With that said, today's episode, we'll discuss a bit about the CIA, what it's been up to, its fails, and also the horrible things it's done, and hopefully not make it too much of a bummer, because sadly, over its history, the CIA has been relatively successful, to the detriment of basically all of humanity. Recently, they've been fucking up a bit. We'll laugh at them for that. But yeah, how do you guys want to start this? I have a couple of things I want to say that I didn't know, apparently.
I'll go for it.
You know, I always knew that the meme, like, the CIA is headquartered in Langley, in Virginia, right? I didn't know that the actual name of their headquarters was the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
You didn't?
I had no fucking idea it was the George Bush Center. What the fuck? Like, I don't care if it's Senior or the other guy, right? yeah, it just seemed a bit funny because usually you'd expect it to be some president that died like 100 years ago, but it's fucking George Bush. Yeah. So yeah, that's number
also
one.
Also deeply and, funny that it's the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
I mean, that's like,
even though the latest, the previous Bushes were pretty smart, one could say. And this, the, like, the, this shit, like, I completely forgot about this. Sorry for if I'm interjecting, but this is this American sense of lesser when they compare themselves to Europeans. So most European institutions, be it insanely parasitic ones or just government institutions, are named after this monarch or that or this great philosopher or intellectual. But because the U.S. is lacking in monarchs, literally the only, not the only, but one of the only good things about that fucking country, they need to find something to name things after. And as I said previously, they want to copy the elite European approach to it. So what do they choose? They choose one of the great non-monarchic dynasties that have been ruling the U.S. for quite a while now, which is the Bushes. So you can maybe I'm over-analyzing this, but I'm trying to put across to the viewer that as much as you think that there are no dynasties in the good old U.S. of A., it is arguably the last place on Earth when it comes to the developed world that still very much so has running dynasties, and not just one, but multiple ones that are competing constantly.
Oh, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. They do the same thing with the Kennedys.
Mm. Yeah,
exactly.
Perfect. Beautifully said.
The only thing that would be funnier than calling it the George Bush Intelligence Department is calling it the Kennedy CIA Center. It would be like, I don't know, like a guy beating his girlfriend, calling it the girlfriend day when he beats the shit out of her, you know?
Oh my God. I just want to add, because that kind of weirdly touches on their motto, their unofficial motto, which is, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is a biblical verse. And... And I don't know why it's strangely fitting, because it sounds almost like you know when you read a dystopian novel and then they have, you know, the all-seeing fucking Big Brother eye,
and
they're also gonna have some very ironic or you know hypocritical motto, and it's exactly that, and the you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, because when I want the truth, that's where I go. The CIA
shit writes itself.
Excellent track record for truth telling, CIA.
Yeah, exactly right. With all that said, though, I remember I was when researching for this video, you'd see a couple of things, and they'd be like, "Oh, you know, some of their operations may violate the Constitution of the United States." I'm like, "Okay, I like how that's supposed to be something inflammatory or some shit. Who cares if it violates the Constitution? It violates basic human dignity." Whatever. Anyways, but with all this being said, we're not going to get into the everybody knows about COINTELPRO and MK Ultra and this shit. It's boring fucking surface level shit. Everybody knows about this. So I think we'll touch maybe on some things a bit deeper. We'll touch about that on that a little bit. JT, do you want to start?
Oh boy, yeah. Where do we want to even begin? Do we want to do election meddling? Do we want to do coups? Do we want to do drug running? So many options.
President killing?
You pick.
President killing?
We can start with coups and then kind of work our way down. I think I should go last because my stuff is really, all of it is a bummer.
So I think the thing to keep in mind with the CIA, the United States, and our coup activity is that it's not ever in the interest of, you know, global democracy, as they always sell it. There's like this one news clip of this, I forget if he was an ex-CIA head or the current one, who was explaining that, oh yeah, we still do this, but always in the interest of democracy.
Have we ever tried to meddle in other countries' elections?
Oh, probably, but it was for the good of the system in order to avoid the communists from taking over. For example, in Europe, in 47, 48, 49, the Greeks and the Italians,
we don't do
CIA.
That now, though. We don't mess around other people's elections, Joe.
Only for a very good
cause.
Can
you do that? Do a Vine video on a former CIA director.
Only for a very good cause in the interests of democracy.
All right, thanks for being here.
But that is obviously not the case, because you look at coups like the 1954 coup in Guatemala, and that was explicitly to make the United Fruit Company happy. The fruit company lobbied the U.S. government. The U.S. government sent the CIA, and the CIA just created such unbelievable instability and chaos and caused countless deaths. And that's just one example. And it's always for the financial interests of the United States and its businesses. Same with the 1953 coup in Iran over the nationalization of their oil industry. And the CIA didn't even admit involvement in that one until 60 years later in 2013.
You got to appreciate the development, though, because selling it on bananas, like, why did you destroy this whole country? Bananas, but not like, why did you actually do bananas? It just doesn't work. It doesn't sell. It doesn't flow off the tongue. You know, I'm an advertising person, but oil, the thing that runs your motherfucking car, that sells. Why did you kill that innocent, do things which led to the death of those innocent children? The shit that runs your car, Ford Mustang, literally runs on the blood of person children. Jesus, why did I laugh? I'm sorry. But it's bananas. All I'm saying is I would hire the CIA PR team, at least from back in the day. We will later talk. Nowadays, it's a bit cringier, yes.
Yeah.
Two books to recommend. Sorry to just interject here, but
fucking
two
nerd.
Nice books to recommend on Guatemala or just the entire banana issue. There's a book called Bitter Fruit. It's by, if I remember, what's their name? Schlesinger, something like that. You'll find. Just write Bitter Fruit. And for the coup in Iran, you should take a look at All the Shah's Men by Kinzer. These are two good books. And also a tidbit to add about Guatemalan basically American military aggression of the U.S. Against Guatemala. At the time that coup was happening against Arbenz's government, Che Guevara was in Guatemala at the time, and he himself tried to organize like a desperate kind of defense.
Well, the bananas,
and it was like it was
a bunch of banana carrying children, and the children were homosexuals. It's Che Guevara, he very big homosexual killer.
Of course, yes. Of course. But the funny tidbit is that he couldn't get anything done, then he was arrested and he was thrown in prison for like 9 months. But it's interesting to see how history kind of plays out like this. Sorry, JT, I cut you off. Go on.
No, I was just going to recap and say that anytime you see U.S. involvement abroad, and you're never really going to see it until later, you're not going to see any reports on it until decades later, generally speaking, it's never in the interest of global democracy. The United States has a hand in overthrowing more foreign governments than any nation on Earth, any nation in the history of the world.
It's
not even
margin.
Close.
And we had Rome. We had Rome, motherfucker. Literally, that was their whole shtick.
I mean, the U.S., according to one report, the U.S. is responsible for at least 61 attempts at regime change during the Cold War alone. You know, it's Iraq, Cuba, Republic of Congo, Laos, the Dominican Republic, Brazil, and the list just keeps going. It's absurd. And the fact that we position ourselves as this bastion of freedom and democracy is insane to me.
And people will hear this and they will say, okay, Cold War, but the USSR and the KGB tried to do the same thing. Okay, decent enough argument, but the logic behind the KGB and behind every single action that they undertook on non-USSR soil during the Cold War was very openly stated as, we are helping communists in this place to turn it into something that we both agree this country should look like. It was never about we are here to liberate. We, the white man on a white horse, are about to save this degenerate, usually different colored nation, etc., etc. There was a lot more honesty in it, and not only in the wording of it, but in the funding and in how they interacted and how they cooperated with local communist organizations, and sometimes not even communist organizations, but anti-imperialist groups as well. So I'm not trying to make the point that, because they didn't use the same words, they are better. But sometimes when you are playing the game which the game of to end all games, which was the Cold War, the morality behind, not the morality, but the reasoning behind the actions you're undertaking is pretty much everything, is extremely important. And the U.S. sold values to its local population, which it did not export to the places where they said that they are exporting it to, while the USSR, with its faults during the Cold War, obviously, managed to, in the long term and most of the time, support its allies truly and genuinely help the working class on the ground to try and establish an alternative to very often and usually fascistic and backwards state apparatuses.
It's actually amazing how the US and the CIA have always found themselves on the side of reaction. Basically, every single far-right death squad that has popped up on this rotting earth that we have has had either a blood or paper or money trail that leads right back to the CIA and the American government. It can be as simple as the Contras. It can be to the religious groups, and particularly the Christian groups of Lebanon during the Lebanese Civil War, amongst other things, during the ethnic tensions of practically every Latin American country. At every level, you'll see some involvement of the United States on the side of reaction. You can't say that for the Soviet Union. Pretty much every single anti-imperialist or independence movement on Earth has received genuine support from the socialist powers. Meanwhile, pretty much every monarchy or fascist dictatorship on the Earth has received money and soldiers and guns and pretty much everything else from the United States and its institutions like the CIA. So the argument is really not based in truth.
And even if the
but yeah, I completely agree.
And even there were a few cases, I can't quote them right now, I don't want to make a mistake, but there were cases where they quote-unquote supported moderates in specific countries, but what would happen in those specific countries, because they were always in the global south, they would continuously be exploited by Western powers and by imperialism, and then eventually their economy would go down, and when the local economy goes down, what happens? Communists rise up, and pretty much in the 60s and 70s, the CIA genuinely realized that even though it's easier to sell it at home, that we're supporting moderates over in country A, B, or C, in the long run, it will not make sure that communists do not take over, literally because of rising class consciousness and people's disappointment in how the moderates are running the country. Even though, ironically, the moderates could potentially have managed to run the country relatively to relative stability, which would not lead to a revolution, but in its greed in the Cold War, Western US/NATO powers always try to squeeze as much out of any potential region as possible.
So one other thing to consider with these coups and CIA involvement is it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't stop with their, you know, funding of right-wing death squads and kidnapping and assassination and torture and all that stuff. It can also lead to some much larger and much more long-lasting geopolitical issues, like take the 63 coup that resulted in the assassination of the president of South Vietnam, for example. Hmm. And what do you guys think that led to? That led to the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, which then led to the death of like a million Vietnamese people, many of whom were civilians, and many of whom are still dealing with the fallout of Agent Orange being dumped all over their home. We have to keep in mind, like, these, yeah, CIA are evil little cretins, but they also serve the U.S. empire, and the little dominoes that they tip over, these individual people or these small-scale meddlings, they become massive world-changing events, and that's for that amount of power to be vested in the hands of a completely unaccountable shadow organization is just it's beyond me why that would even be considered even remotely okay.
Which apparently, by the way, I also didn't know this. They're apparently an independent organization within the United States. Mm-hmm. They don't actually have to answer to anybody. I thought they with all the bullshit they did, they had to answer to the president or something, at least the Senate. I don't know.
I believe it was in the Reagan years that was the first time that they chose not to report their activities to the president. So they, at that point, became a completely unaccountable organization, accountable only to themselves. And so whatever they did was their decision alone. It was not the decision of the president, the Senate, and certainly not the American people. It's wild to me. It's like you've got this paramilitary group of the most insane people in the world, like these radicals who believe that the United States should be the only nation to exist. And they're just, you know, they get to do whatever they want. They have near infinite funding. They smuggle drugs to and from countries, including the United States. They create these massive geopolitical problems, and they don't have to answer for any of it.
It was a really good point that both of you addressed that I just want to touch on from like a different lens. So recently I heard from very... Okay, so people listening to this are podcast listeners, which rarely intersects with people who listen to live streams and streamers, et cetera, et cetera. But for the few of you that do actually listen to streamers as well, when researching this topic, I wanted to see what the everyday liberal streamer tends to have on the as an opinion have on the topic of the CAA. And the main argument those of them among them that they use when it comes to defending the CAA as an institution that is constitutional and that is in the interest of the U.S. is what both of you mentioned, that they still to this day, especially since some resolutions recently, have to, in the long run, especially for big operations, answer to the executive branch of the U.S. government. As we know, this obviously is not the case, especially what JT said, since the Reagan years and even with recent resolutions, et cetera, et cetera. But I just want to leave an imprint on your political consciousness or whatever, is that if an organization is powerful enough and if it has enough influence, not over a population, but over the key players inside of a government body or a state structure, whatever legislations on paper apply to it and whatever legislation brackets it off as, in this case, an institution which cannot function without the direct approval of the president and of the State Department, if it has enough power, it does not have to actually follow those rules. Those rules only apply, rules in general, laws apply when it's when a bigger guy tells a smaller guy, this is what you have to do. But the CAA as an organization, not only the CAA, but many others, are large enough to allow themselves to literally be above laws which do exist on paper. So please, when a usually liberal, rarely conservative, ironically conservatives, sometimes are not all that pro-CAA, but when they come to you and they try to pitch you the idea that that every single institution in the U.S. follows the Constitution and follows the specific rules and regulations which have been applied to it and use those regulations as an argument, it is absolutely idiotic, because in the rest of the world, we know very well that we also have a bunch of pieces of paper that say Organization A or Organization B or Person A or Person B is supposed to be this or supposed to be that. Well, if it can happen there with somebody who amasses too much power, it can happen in your country as well. And the CAA is a perfect example of that. No matter how many laws are put in place to try and control something which has more power than the organization which is putting those laws in place, it will always remain completely and utterly independent, and as JT said, a paramilitary organization at that point.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. And I think the really scary part about it is I don't think most Americans actually are all that, like, anti... No, they're definitely not anti-CIA, but I don't think, if anything, they're mostly either neutral or some of them even see them positively. And linking that to the liberal streamer, the clip that Europe sent to us just so we can take a look at is basically him defending the CIA as some information source that, you know, you could refer to and all that kind of shit. And I'm just thinking, the idea of trusting this, whatever the CIA has to tell you about, like, it's one thing to look at the CIA fact book and be like, oh, this country has this large of a population, which is a kind of semi-neutral fact, so it's fine. But on the other hand, you shouldn't trust what the CIA tells you about how another country is structured politically, because vast majority of the time, it is completely, politically motivated. I remember this thing, fuck, I wish I still had it, I think I deleted it. Actually, maybe I'll look it up. Hold on. There was a thing where there's a CIA there's the CIA definition of socialism, as funny as it is, right? And I can't find it right now, but to paraphrase what they say is basically like, oh, an ideology which basically wants to put the means of production into common hands or something like that, like very vaguely described. And then they write comma, in reality, all instances of socialism lead to, totalitarian dictatorship, vuvuzela, 100 billion. Like, I'm not kidding, like the official definition. Like, this is the source of information that you want to go to. All right, whatever. But yeah, let's kind of bring it back on the rails. Coups, of course, as we mentioned, they're never ending. We can sit here and spend the next 5 hours talking about just listing them off, practically. Think of a country and the CIA has in one way or another meddled in their local elections or funded one group over another, what have you, okay? And of course, like I said, always on the side of reaction. It's never on the, anti-imperialist, independent, pro-working people. Or it's never that. It's always on the side of the wealthiest aspects of that society, usually the most conservative, the most socially regressive, etc., etc. But we can put that to aside. How about we look at a favorite, which is how the CIA practically made the U.S. drug problem to fight communists. JT, yes. Can you segue us into this beautiful topic?
All right. So, running right-wing death squads is kind of expensive. You need money for that. And as much funding as the CIA can get from the U.S. government, drug money is much easier to get, far fewer hoops to jump through. And if you're the CIA and you've got your own fleet of planes and you can land anywhere you want in your little drug running planes, then why not make a little bit of money on the side and ferry giant bricks of cocaine to and from the US, Latin American countries, and introduce it into these populations that didn't have access to it before, creating an incredibly lucrative market and funneling that money back into your regime change projects. So, for example, they would smuggle these drugs via Costa Rica, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, etc., and they would bring it to the United States. They'd fly in their little planes, land wherever they want because they have clearance to land wherever they want. They don't have to have their planes searched. They can just say official U.S. government business. And then they'd take their whatever normal cars into the inner cities, in the case of the crack epidemic, and just start selling these drugs that they procured from the developing world for the sake of funding their death squads. So the United States, back in the 70s, I believe, had a new problem on their hands, and that was the proliferation of crack and cocaine. So, crack cocaine in the lower income portions of the cities, and the powder cocaine, the purer form, the higher class looking one in the hands of the fancy business people, and we won't even get into the mandatory minimums and the racist baggage that comes with that. But yeah, it's the entire operation of the CIA hinges upon not only being subversive in other countries, but in their own country. Their evil abroad is funded by their evil at home, and it's really a sick, twisted, convoluted way to undermine the rest of the world by also undermining the very place they're supposedly protecting.
I can't believe how feeble-minded both of you are. Like, that wasn't the point of this whole thing. Where was the place where socialism was tried for the first time in the long term? The Soviet Union, yes. What is rampant as a stereotype among Russians and Russian-speaking nations? Alcoholism. How do you fight communism? By fighting alcoholism. But alcoholism is so amazing that you can't fight it by stopping it. You gotta give the people some dope that will make them replace alcoholism with. So you introduce crack cocaine, you introduce cocaine, you introduce weed, you introduce meth, you introduce amphetamines. All smuggled, again, as you properly said, through your right-wing death squads over in South America. So, yes, you were in the very correct direction, my friend JT, but
you lifted
did not
the veil.
See the full picture. The CIA still remained. The CIA still remained very patriotic to their purpose by removing alcoholism from the local American population and turning everybody into drug addicts. Okay, that was their logic.
I can't believe I overlooked that. Yeah. Now. 100% correct.
Great failing of ours.
Too simplistic.
But let me just add something. Again, not to recommend the book, but there is one of the first books written about the connection between the CIA and drug smuggling was a book called Dark Alliance by Gary Webb. It's a good book. It has its criticisms, but it's generally truthful. If you're unaware, though, Gary Webb, the author of this of this work, he basically was found dead in his home. I think it was like 2003 or 2004, shortly after the Iraq War started. He was found dead in his home with two gunshot wounds to the back of his head, and his death was ruled as suicide. I don't mean to, like, not to, like, I feel horrible for the man and his family, but. I think this is actually very this is very intentional to basically because everybody who looks at it will be like, oh, obviously he didn't die by suicide, he was killed, but it's kind of just trying to send the message out there. It's like, oh, if you start looking into this, then you're gonna also end up with two gunshot wounds to the back of your head, right? We're gonna duct tape you to a fucking, you know, the plastic, the third world plastic chairs, right? And then they're gonna fucking throw you in your pool and be like, oh, he suicide by drowning. Don't ask how he duct taped himself. Right? Fuck. By the way, I find it very funny, the idea of, like, two gunshot wounds, and then the first bullet he shot into his fucking head didn't kill him, and he had to go and try again.
Oops, I missed. Stupid.
My God. By the way, he shot himself with a fucking revolver. Like, okay, I'm just saying, like, he blew half his head off with the first bullet, but no, he still had, you know, the consciousness, the wherewithal to go and pick up the gun and be like, you know what, I can make a better job of this. Your mom raised you better than this.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God. That's the story, though. That's how it goes. It's these unaccountable groups like the CIA, and they can do this stuff and say, what are you going to do? Who's going to come after us? Nobody.
And speaking to the international audience, yes, they do what they want, but they can never, ever execute their operations on a local territory without local traitors. It's literally impossible. If they wanted to execute it through an army, yes, they would, for example, deploy it and then it goes into a full-scale war. But if they want to do covert operations, they need local people to do shit for them. I actually unironically know, like, one of my dad's best friend's brother is back in when Yugoslavia was falling apart, etc. He was literally recruited to work for the CIA, but at that point he felt like the cause that the CIA was fighting for on the Balkan Peninsula, he was very young, etc., was just, etc. Then he followed it, and I'm not going to either criticize him or call him out for being a traitor, but he's a very mild example as compared to people like the Contras and hardcore drug smugglers, etc., which very often did work with the CIA against the interests of their own country, only to gain personal wealth and to fund whatever enterprise that they felt like they're going to create.
This links into something that's very interesting. I'm glad you shared a personal tidbit, because then I can share one as well, since you did. For those who are unaware, I mentioned in a previous episode, but my father, he studied in the USSR, and he was on a military scholarship, basically sent by the Iraqi military to go study. As part
of... Honorary Slav.
Yes, exactly. He loves Russia and Ukraine and Belarus and basically and all former Soviet territories, but particularly the Slavic ethnic ones. He adores them. He loves them absolutely, and it's he considers it like a pity of his life that he hasn't been able to go back to those countries in maybe like 10 years, I think. No, more than 10 years. The last time he's been was like 14, 15 years ago. But yeah, anyways.
And what happened in those 14, 15 years, I wonder, in Iraq? Oh, I'm scratching my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which also, by the way, everything had a hand, the CIA had a hand in. But anyways, the reason I'm mentioning the story is part of his like education and whatnot, he visited quite a few, he visits practically every Eastern Bloc country. And he also had to visit a few of the Western Bloc countries. So he went to France and to West Germany and whatnot. And in 1981, there was some sort of official thing that they were sent for from Iraq to West Germany. And him and a bunch of other officers basically, you know, did the stuff that they need to get done. And then they were about to go back. But before they could go back, they all were basically rounded up by West German intelligence officials. And they were basically, like, you know, tried to be recruited as informants. And a couple of them, they were like, if you don't want to be an informant, then, like, you know, this is how they, the foot in the door, how they get you to basically become an informant. If you want, you can stay here in West Germany. You can officially appeal asylum right now, and you're going to get citizenship, an apartment, and a salary, like a official, like an... quite a high salary and all that shit. It's like, if you want to stay here and, like, no questions asked. And the idea would be, wow, because their families wouldn't be able to come, so their families would basically be kind of held hostage in Iraq, so then they would feel the need to kind of comply with what the West Germans would need and whatnot. I remember my dad mentioned the fact that two people actually took up the offer at the time. And then he went, he's like, oh, the fucking traitors above. I'm like, based, absolutely beyond based. This is like a very real experience that does happen. This is not something in movies, and this is not something that, you know, like, oh, you know, actually the CIA doesn't do this. They actively do try to do this. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the modern day, be it in Vietnam or Cuba or China, this is still an ongoing experience.
It is 100%. Absolutely everywhere, not even there, in Eastern Europe in general. Like, I don't know if I should reveal this, but I will. I talked to the guys before the podcast. Like, I studied at a university that was very much sponsored by the US in general, and it was a hot spot to find local traders, which were not only willing but were ecstatic at the opportunity to work for them. And one thing that people need to realize is that when you are recruited as an asset, you do not only become an employee of the CIA, but they make sure to use all their contacts and get you in very, very good positions in different corporations in the local country. They make sure that you get better loans with banks. They make sure that if they have, for example, an apartment in that specific country, for it to be either given to you for no rent or sometimes even gifted to you if you're a high risk, maximum reward asset or whatever. Mm-hmm. They will sweeten the package so fucking well, and that's where they're very good at. And in my opinion, that's what differentiates them from other reactionary, for example, intelligence agencies all over the world today. For example, the Russian one, which today is reactionary, has nothing to do with the Cold War, et cetera, et cetera. They play much more of a role of intimidating you, obviously, because they don't have the budget that the CIA has, of intimidating you into following what they want you to do, or finding dirt on you and pushing it. The CIA also does that, but it's literally much less effort to just give you shit, to sweeten the deal, to literally create. They're applying the basic cop rhetoric into turning snitches over to them. They give you shit that will alleviate your life in this system in order to have someone who is extremely loyal in the local country. And it works. You gotta give it to them. It really, really works. Fear works, but to an extent, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But you have it at the back of the back of your head that, you know, they have videos of you sleeping with a minor or whatever, and you have to work with them up until that point. But you know that eventually they will release that, so you need to find an alternative to it, like a CIA agent, which will go on the site and delete that video and save you from having to work for the FSB, which actually is a case that happened.
Yeah, sorry, it's a funny thing you mentioned about like they have video of you sleeping with somebody, so, you know, the CIA actually tried to blackmail Suharto, the Indonesian leader, anti-imperialist leader who was very friendly to the communists, by basically doing what was the equivalent of a deepfake back in the day. find a guy who kind of looks like him, I guess, and basically have him do really depraved shit on camera with, like, prostitutes. And my favorite part about it is they tried to recruit some diplomat or something, and they were like, yeah, see, like, this is what we have on Suharto. Was it Suharto or Sukarno? I think it was Suharto, excuse me. he's like, this is what we have on. And the diplomat goes, is like, that looks nothing like it. What do you think this is going to fool? I'm just like, how, fuck, sometimes they put amazing effort into shit, and sometimes they just have a bad hair day. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. or 600 right, bad hair days in the case of Fidel.
That's what I was just going to say. And the stupid shit, it's like, okay, first of all, let me just tell the Chad story of Fidel. Yeah. If anybody's ever doubted the Chadness of Fidel, which I don't know, understand how you could. Basically, there was this woman who Castro had some sort of relationship with, basically. They had gone to know each other and whatnot. She was, I think, she was an American lady, I believe, or German-American, something like that. Anyways, basically, she got recruited by the CIA to go and assassinate him. So they basically they managed to find a way to get her basically into his bedroom. Which she ends up in his bedroom, right? And they're talking a bit, and then she pulls out the gun, and she's like, oh, like, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, for the CIA. And this absolute chat, the balls on this dude, basically. He looks at her, and he's like, okay, if you want to do that, do that. And then he turns around and, like, goes to his, like, little counter thing to grab a cigar, and he's just minding his own business with his back turned. And this woman, she couldn't do it, of course, because you're in supreme awe of the girth of this man's fucking manhood. So basically, afterwards, she, you know, it's almost like a 1950s movie. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't documented. She basically drops the gun and says, like, oh, I couldn't do it. And he's like, yeah, I know you couldn't. And then he sleeps with her. And that's like, can you imagine? Imagine being the CIA handler of her and then ring her the next day and be like, yeah, so did you do it? And she's like, actually. Oh, fuck. But yeah, exactly. So, amongst all the other stupid ways they tried to kill him, the exploding cigar.
All I can
and the
say
fucking,
is I will not need any protein shake soon.
Oh my god, you got me, please. Oh jeez. But there's that shit.
All I can say is that them communists really be eating their fish and pineapple.
Oh my god, Gaffy, enough. Oh fuck. What you could have said is like, oh, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. That makes more. But anyways. Fucking so stupid. But yeah.
That was good. It was good. Dialectical materialism applied to cunnilingus.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But, so he... the other ways they tried to kill him, tried to put some fucking... tried to get some poison pill to him, but you know, it was like frozen. They kept it in a freezer and it froze like in like an ice block, and they couldn't like thaw it out in time. Just stupid, comically funny
like
ways.
He took it and he was like, this is some shitty MDMA, bro.
Yeah, fuck. But yeah, oh my god, bless him. Do you know, like, I personally believe one of the convincing factors that God exists is that in spite of these hundreds of attempts to murder Castro, he lived to a beautiful full 90 years of age, right? Yep. What an absolute chat.
Amazing.
Fucking smoking two cigars a day on average throughout his whole life, fucking drinking rum all the time.
Yeah. He never wore a bulletproof vest. 600 attempts on his life.
With chest hair like that, you don't need a vest, baby.
Yeah, honestly, fuck. Oh, jeez. I remember reading a CIA. This is gonna turn into the fucking Fidel appreciation. fucking podcast. But I remember I was reading this. Literally, it's like a CIA write up, and it's like, oh yeah, like you know, after the revolution and whatnot, Fidel was seen basically like a sex symbol and all that. And then they, a weird way, it's like, oh, but then his popularity with women rapidly like fell because of his skinny legs. And I was like, first of all, his legs aren't skinny. Number one, and number two, what the fuck?
And number four, he has three legs, bitch.
Yeah, exactly right. Fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, absolutely an elite gentleman. He was on his Sigma grind set, for sure.
he's proved that everyone can be, exactly, everybody can be a Sigma. Like objectively, look at him. Like, he's if he wasn't a communist commando, he would be like a good 6.5. But because he's a communist commando, he becomes like a 13 out of 10, you know? So there's still a chance for you. Join the beautiful Marxist movement, not because of your loyalty to your working class, but because you want to get laid. Literally, I'm yet to see this argument failing. I'm yet to see it.
Unironically, these are jokes for anybody who might take this seriously. Don't be a fucking Jesus sex Christ. Pest. That's disgusting. And yes, of course, you go things joking. Oh, I know, but like one guy is going to fucking clip this. This is what they say. He's like, go eat a dick, all right, please.
Yeah. Spam all the girl communists in the Discord channel with, hey, I'm a communist, you want to date me? No, she fucking doesn't. Fucking eat a dick.
You'll get the wall, all right? Dr. Hakim says you get the wall. My prescription wall. Anyways.
Only hierarchy allowed in communism is Chads and non-Chads. Non-Chads, go away.
Okay,
I can say Kevin. One bullet, no refills.
Fuck. Applied directly to the head. Anyways, let's bring this back on the fucking on track. That's a drug. That's about drug trafficking. Okay. The next thing that we want to talk about.
It's not drug trafficking. It's anti-alcohol trafficking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Drug war. It's the anti-alcohol war. I will die on this hill.
I need to self-crit. I need to self-crit. Sorry.
The only reason there has not been a revolution in the United States is because you people fucking drink piss water instead of beer, okay? The only people this rule does not apply to is to the beautiful, beautiful Muslim brothers of mine. With you guys, it's absolutely fine, obviously. But with the rest of you who are allowed to drink and you don't, there's a reason you don't have communism, fucking degenerates. Okay, yes, please continue.
Anyways, with that beautiful segue completed, the next thing that we can talk about, I guess, we'll just touch upon this quickly because everybody knows the CIA assassinates. How about this? We can just, I'll list like what? The three people I think that are most well known for being assassinated. One, of course, is an American, the other one is a Chilean, and the third one is a beautiful man from the Congo. The first one, of course, is Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton, who was basically within the leadership of the Black Panther Party, which was, in my opinion, the number one example of how you should organize within the United States. They really did blaze a path that had previously not been investigated. And it's something that I think the modern American left really has to resurrect, of course, with modern alterations. But whatever, it was an amazing movement led by the Black community, which directly challenged the American state. And by the way, it was the conservatives of the U.S., the Republicans, passed gun
regulations.
Thank you, gun regulation laws in fucking California. The Republicans passed this specifically to target the Black Panthers. The people are like, oh, not my guns, not my fucking my cock doesn't work in my gun, I need my gun, right? These people, right, they passed fucking gun regulation laws because Black people were arming themselves in two ways, with guns and with theory. So that's and he was basically executed by the FBI, actually, but I have fucking two peas in a pod or whatever you fucking Americans say. But that's one example.
MLK too. Yeah, FBI is also evil.
Yeah, and the FBI also had a hand in the assassination of Malcolm X. Of course, if you remember, Malcolm X's daughter was found dead shortly after she did the Netflix thing. Like, I mean, come on, fucking hell.
Jesus.
But
not saying anything, but saying something.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's, you know, these American examples, fine. But the, I think, number one example, international example, is Salvador Allende in Chile, which we spoke about earlier, TLDR. Socialist government basically wins a completely fair democratic election, and then they come into power, and the CIA does basically everything in their power to dislodge them and get rid of them, even to the point of Kissinger saying that the future of Chile is too important to leave it to the Chilean people. That's how pro-human rights and democracy the United States is. And then basically they, with CIA sponsorship, they assassinate Allende and start a fascist coup led by Pinochet. That basically ruins the fucking country for the next like decade and a half. That's the
example. And now the karma's coming to bite them back in the ass. Congratulations to Chile for the first time after that brutal, disgusting dictatorship. for helping bring in, yes, it's a social democrat. Okay, I can already hear half of you in the fucking comment section. I'm like, ah, why are you... Shut the fuck up. It's an incredibly impressive feat.
Better than nothing.
For a country that existed for so long under Pinochet's boot. Nobody expected this, and it is absolutely beautiful to see, both as a starting point from which the left can build in... literally the one of the top five countries in the world where the left was the most suppressed ever, and number two because the new Chilean president is not only a communist but more importantly he is by descendancy and by blood a Slav, specifically a Balkan Slav. His family emigrated actually in the 1940s, not the later 1940s but the early 1940s, away from the Nazis, not because they were Nazis. But it is that was super shocking to me. That was super beautiful to me. But like, what? Oh my God! Shelter. Not when you're a hidden commie. What do you call it?
Closet.
The word
closet commie.
A closet commie hiding his power levels. Which one over there? It's a beautiful sight to see. It's incredible that we actually have Slavic representation, which is not some. Incredibly backwards right winger. So good for them. And Salvador Allende, I hope he's watching and at least has somewhat of a smile on his face.
Honestly. But to add, I think the third one, which is a great tragedy that we don't hear too much about on the left, I won't take too much time on it, but I think you guys should read up on it if you don't know about it, is the assassination of Patrice Lumumba, who was the basically first... legally elected prime minister of independent Congo. He was, by the way, on the suspicion that he might be a communist. He wasn't even an outspoken communist. Yes, he went and visited the USSR and a bunch of other socialist nations, and he kind of tried to have ties with everybody. The potential, God forbid, he might be somewhat sympathetic to the communists. So he was assassinated, and basically a right-wing pro-Western dictatorship emerged in the place of his assassination and the overthrow of his government. Which resulted basically in the complete halting of the development of the Congo to this day, mind you. So if you can imagine, this assassination took place in 1961 and now is 2022. So for basically 60 years, the development of a country in Central Africa, which is, by the way, one of the richest countries on earth by minerals and resources and everything else, has been basically stuck in lack of development, if not inverse development. Not inverse, de-development. The word's not fucking coming to me right now. Come on, help me out. The American is with us.
I'm actually trying to think about this. What is the word? Regression, maybe?
Regression, yeah. I guess we can say regression. Thank you very much. Yeah, the regression of their economic development because of an assassination of a leader who was basically slightly too nice to other communists, to communist countries. That's a... serious crime that's usually not very not spoken of frequently. And if you're very interested in this, also there's a speech given by Guevara about that mentions Lumumba specifically, and it's about the imperialism is bestial. It's a bestial system. It turns man into beasts. If you just write Che Guevara beast into YouTube, you'll find the speech. But yeah, it's... go on.
Sorry, tens of thousands of protesters came out in Belgrade when Lumumba was killed back in Yugoslavia in, 60 or 61? Arguably any socialist that considers himself a socialist from my part of the world really knows about him. It was an absolutely disgusting tragedy, and it was very beautiful to see the local population really feel with the struggle of the... of the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo back in the day. Might have gone unheard in the part of the world where they wanted it to go unheard because he was struggling against the imperialism of exactly those places. But in other places, his death was genuinely not in vain.
Yeah. And by the way, just an interesting side note, while the United States was basically facilitating the assassination of this great man, the Soviet Union, which was lending support to him and his government at the time, after his assassination, named opened and named a university after him in Moscow called the Patrician Lumumba University. I think today it's called the People's Friendship University or something. And it was basically a international university that had faculties of humanities and technology and medicine and economics and everything else, basically. Where you people from third world countries around the world basically got scholarships to come and study in the Soviet Union to get these degrees and come, you know, like a form of internationalism, just like how Cuba does nowadays, which is it's very interesting to compare the two strategies, but yeah. That's my little bit about assassinations. I don't want to actually like dwell on it too much. But yeah, there's so many more. The fucking list is practically endless. And especially if we extend it beyond just like presidents and prime ministers and whatnot, insane.
So the thing about the CIA, one of the many things about the CIA, is they're not terribly quiet about a lot of this stuff. Like you see a lot of ex-operatives who will come clean to whether that's to ease their conscience or because they just want to brag about how cool they were and stuff like that. There are a lot of people who talk about their experience in the CIA over the years, but you can also just find their past publications online. One infamous one is a 90-page booklet called Psychological Operations in Guerrilla Warfare, and the TLDR of that is that the CIA likes to outsource their more heinous crimes to local U.S.-funded paramilitaries. So when some politician is kidnapped or tortured or assassinated, the CIA gets to keep their hands clean. They get to keep their veneer of plausible deniability. It's all part and parcel of the ploy to keep the American people from realizing that we are the bad guys, that we are the ones causing the greatest amount of instability and chaos and suffering that the world has likely ever seen. And that is going to continue to be the case. And that's something that we really need to grapple with as Americans. And there's a clip I'd like to play from a former CIA agent, John Stockwell, and it really puts in perspective just how bad the impact of the CIA has been. So let's take a listen.
They undertake to run operations in every corner of the globe. They also undertook the license of operating just totally above and beyond U.S. laws. They had a license, if you will, to kill, but also they took that to a license to smuggle drugs, a license to do all kinds of things to other people in other societies in violation of international law, our law, and every principle of nations working together for a healthier and more peaceful world. We manipulated and organized the overthrow of functioning constitutional democracies in other countries. We organized secret armies and directed them to fight in just about every continent in the world. We encouraged ethnic minorities to rise up and fight, people like the Mosquito Indians in Nicaragua, the Kurds in the Middle East, the Hmongs in Southeast Asia. We have organized and we still do and fund death squads in countries around the world, like the Treasury Police in El Salvador, which are responsible for most of the killing of the 50,000 people just in the 80s, and there was 70,000 before that. And orchestration, CIA secret teams, and propaganda led us directly into the Korean War. We were attacking China from the islands, Kaimoi, Matsu, Thailand, Tibet. A lot of drug trafficking involved in this, by the way, until eventually we convinced ourselves to fight the Chinese in Korea. And we had the Korean War, and 1 million people were killed. Same thing for the Vietnam War, and we have extensive documentation of how the CIA was involved at every level, or the national security complex, because it's a very cooperative thing, into manipulating the nation into the Vietnam War. Let me just put it this way. The best heads that I coordinate with studying this thing, we count at least, minimum figure, 6 million people who've been killed in this long 40-year war that we've waged against the people of the Third World.
Are we the baddies?
Are we the baddies? Yes. Unironically, we are the baddies. Like, that's, Americans need to grapple with that fact. It's become too undeniable. It's something we need to internalize.
And I was
but not fully. But be careful. We don't fully internalize. Like, it's not the population. genuinely is not. Yes,
no.
Managed to
not the average person. Yeah, not the average person. We're the American people are perfectly pleasant most of the time, and a lot of it just comes down to not having time to understand these things, to learn about them. But we need to recognize that the people who run this nation, which with we identify, are the ones that are committing these heinous crimes, and we need to be careful not to cast our lot with those people, I should say.
And of course, this also ties into the numerous works that they've published that are actually out, and you could read if you want about, for example, sabotaging leftist organizations. And I remember, it's a shame I didn't prepare this beforehand. I just thought of it now, but it's basically, you know, like a checklist of shit you should do to disrupt.
Oh.
Organizing
I've got
activities.
That. I've got it saved.
Please open it up. Just read like one or two things. I remember it's like, oh, be a dick, basically. Try to make processes as slow as possible. Try to, you know, be as sectarian as possible. All these fucking issues. And yeah, when you look at the general development of the left, particularly in the United States, you know, I don't want to be the guy who's like, yeah, I see their fingerprints on this, but I kind of do see their fingerprints on this.
Yeah. All right, I've got the list pulled up. There are 8 bullet points. I'll do, I think, 5 of them that are highlighted here. Make speeches. Talk as frequently as possible and at great length. bring up irrelevant issues as frequently as possible. Haggle over precise wordings of communications, minutes, resolutions. Refer back to matters decided upon and attempt to reopen the question.
Break democratic centralism, basically.
Exactly, yep. Be worried about the propriety of any decision. Raise the question of whether such action as contemplated lies within the jurisdiction of the group, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically, like Hakeem says, just be an asshole. Just constantly be poking and needling and slowing things down, just being a stick in the mud. A lot of it's really
pedantic
boring stuff, but it's super effective.
Yeah. Exactly right. And it's something that you'll actually see. You've been, particularly, from what I've seen of the American left, you do see instances of this. Always good to know your history. Of course, a good book also on CIA interventions in leftist groups within the United States is Heavy Radicals. That's what I'm thinking of. It was the FBI, not the CIA, but it's a good book. It's published by Zero Books, if I remember correctly. It's called Heavy Radicals, the FBI's Secret War on America's Maoists, which is excellent. It's a great work. You really, really need to read it because the same tactics that they used against them will be used against you once the fucking movement actually builds up to a sufficient degree.
My last point that I really want to hammer home to my American friends here is that if you live in the U.S., you are also a target of this stuff. Don't think that because you live in the country that runs this operation that you are not a target of that operation. The CIA runs hundreds of media outlets, operations, producing propaganda for every type of platform imaginable. They've awarded billions of dollars in secretive contracts to Microsoft, Oracle, IBM, Amazon, Google. If you find yourself parroting... The deprogram, yeah, that one. If you find yourself parroting State Department talking points, odds are you've taken the bait. So really scrutinize what you're consuming, who those talking points benefit, where they get their funding, stuff like that. It should be common sense, but you think that you're immune to propaganda, and we're just not. Everybody has some susceptibility to being fed incorrect information, and we need to be aware of that. But that's just something to keep in mind for my American comrades.
And with that said, I think I'd like to mention just, I think, 2 things that are kind of a bummer, and then we'll end this episode with something a bit more fun. The first thing that's, again, a bit of a bummer, there was the CIA, if you're unaware, runs black sites all around the world, including within the United States, which basically illegally detain people without jury or trial or nothing. No legal recourse whatsoever. They're basically pulled into an unmarked van and then taken to a place to be interrogated, tortured, and whatnot, or sometimes even just for sadistic reasons. And these exist all around the world. But there's 2 that I would like to highlight. The first one, which basically came out because the CIA admitted that this is happening, and some journalists basically kind of figured it out, is a place that was in Afghanistan that they referred to as the Salt Pit, as pleasantly as that sounds. Interestingly, by the way, the Taliban has destroyed this place, I believe, or the U.S., when it was pulling out, has destroyed this place to kind of cover up what was going on in there. But It was basically a torture facility, just like Guantanamo and all these other places. And the reason I want to highlight this place is because there were several people who were detained in this place that had nothing whatsoever to do with any global terrorism or anything, like completely innocent people that had nothing completely to do with anything. And they were taken without trial or any evidence to basically have enhanced interrogation techniques practiced on them, which included shit like sleep deprivation, being kept in a solitary confinement with no light, no food, in the winters being stripped naked and just left in a cold cell without heating, having no access to water, having basically a bucket to do your business in, basically, amongst many other things, beatings and even rape. But the reason I would like to highlight this particular thing is because there was one guy in particular called Khalid al-Masri, who was a guy who had a similar name to another dude who was actually related to something, some other organization. They want to catch that guy. But they caught this random dude by accident who had no connection to anything and kidnapped him when he was like on vacation in Macedonia or something, and took him to Afghanistan and basically tortured him for years. And by the way, they knew this guy didn't have anything to do with anything. And finally, they let him out. He went out, and then he basically tried to sue both the CIA and a bunch of like transport facilities and stuff like that that basically took him from Macedonia to Afghanistan. And every single one of those trials was dismissed. All the cases were dismissed because, of course, the real levers of power exist elsewhere. So that's a pleasant thought to have in the back of your mind. But this is a solitary example. I want to give an example from my own country, my great and lovely Iraq, and that is something I hope you've heard of called Abu Ghraib. Now, if you don't know what Abu Ghraib is, it was a prison in Iraq. It still is basically a prison. It's closed. It's been closed for several years now, but unofficially, in parts, still semi-active. That was turned by the American invasion into a detention facility for a vast majority of the inmates, by the way, were completely innocent. It was basically, oh, you're suspected of being, you know, anti the American invasion, which, by the way, ooh, I wonder why they would be against the American invasion. But if you're suspected, you'd be thrown in this place. And this was known for basically illegal detention and torture of disgusting kinds, to the point of, of course, again, sexual assault, the same stuff, electrocution, waterboarding. Think about it, they did it in this place. But one thing that I really want to highlight is this became a huge thing because there was a bunch of investigative journalists that leaked this, and then it became big news around the world because, oh, the United States rode into Iraq on human rights and freedom, and we want to bring democracy, and this is what they ended up doing. So the United States needed some scapegoats. So they basically got like 3 or like 10 low-level officers and soldiers who were tangentially connected to this, and they gave them some, you know, they discharged them from the military, gave them a bunch of bullshit sentences, prison sentences, most of which, by the way, they didn't even serve like 2 months. The longest served was 10 years, and this guy, they were trying to make an example of this one person. But everybody else had like multi-year sentences, and they were released after 1 year, or a year and a half, or 2 years. If you're an African-American youth, and you get caught with a fucking eighth of weed or whatever, you're going to get like 10 years in the U.S. But go to another country and basically electrocute people and sodomize them with fucking, with your rifles, and you're going to get, a year in prison, and you're going to get out in 3 months with good behavior. And one particular example is a horrific human being by the name of Lindy England. If you are aware, there's a famous picture, one of the famous pictures of from the Abu Ghraib prison, where it's a woman and she's kind of looking down at an Iraqi man who has a leash tied around his neck, and she's kind of like dragging onto him.
I just want to interact here just to modernize exactly this point, just literally 2 seconds. I made a whole video about Orientalism and about the Balkan Wars, the Yugoslav Wars, etc., etc. Thousands of videos just like mine all over the platform, not demonetized, not made 18+. The only thing that my video had was a little picture. Which picture? Exactly a picture of this woman with a collar around an Iraqi man's naked head on the fucking pavement, on the cold, cold ground. And immediately my video became 18 plus, etc., etc. Just continuing, I think it is relevant. Now, fuck my fucking YouTube channel or whatever. But, like, they make sure to erase every single inch of information that can be degrading towards how degrading they are to others, be it online or be it in physical copies.
That's 100% true. I mean, my video on the CIA has the same exact picture, and the same thing happened to mine. You have to click through like three "I agree to watch this content" warnings to watch my video about the CIA. It's, yeah, it's very clear.
No censorship under capitalism, guys. Please, the market of ideas. Anyways, no, but just to tie up this point, this absolutely despicable human being, she was sentenced for 2 years, I think, and then she got out in like 4 months or whatever the fuck. A bullshit sentence. And now she's living her life normally in the U.S. Nothing's happened to her. And in 2012, she was released from her bullshit prison sentence, and she was asked, like, "Do you regret what you did?" And she explicitly said, no, she did not regret the torture of innocent people in another country. And she says, and I quote, their lives, like Iraqis, their lives are better now. They got the better end of the deal. And then she continues by saying, they weren't innocent. They're trying to kill us, and you want me to apologize to them? It's like saying sorry to the enemy. And I'm...
Good God.
Yeah, Iraqi, like, man, I'm not sure. I think one of the three of us here is Iraqi. Do you agree with their
Yeah, point? No. You know, like, oh, yeah. I mean, okay, the fucking brain rot of somebody who goes and invades another country and then says, they're trying to kill us, they weren't innocent. I mean, fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, brain rot. What can I tell you? And it's this at this point, this doesn't even make me like angry anymore. It just makes me sad that number one,
point, yeah.
Yeah, number one, that these people exist. Number one, that number two, that these people were never, ever, ever punished. And number three, they're unrepentant for this. And my advice to her, if this would ever even reach her, which, you know, if it does, then look, I don't know how you sleep at night, but my advice to her would be repent to your Lord, because after you die, you'll have to face your the consequences of your actions, and yeah. Anyways, with that absolute bummer of a conversation, I hope that wasn't too much for some people, but with that said, let's move on to something a bit more lighthearted, which was the beautiful ad that the CIA put out. Just, I think it was like 2 years ago now, I think, or a year ago.
Yeah.
Which was basically an ad in which a Latino woman was talking about, you know, how should I word this? Again, you know how as capitalism progresses, the superstructure tries to change to fit what's currently, like, you know, in vogue, right? So that's why when under fascism, which is a capitalistic system, there's this hyper, you know, rigid militaristic society where gender stereotypes and certain social values are very strictly adhered to, etc., etc. While meanwhile, in modern quote-unquote woke capitalism, whatever you want to call it, they try to put in, you know, like, oh, we're diverse, see, we have blacks and Hispanics, we have gays, we're pro-women, we're feminists, like all this kind of shit. And that was basically the gist of this fucking ad, in which you have
every
this,
time every time a male colleague does a microaggression to you, find your nearest button which will call for a drone strike on a local Iraqi village, and you will feel better about yourself. Hey, Sarah. Yeah, Sarah. A nice skirt, Sarah. Ah! 5,000 dead Iraqis.
My God. And you know, it's the reason I don't like this fight, because they tried to film it in such a... I wish you guys could actually... I wish we could show you the video of this. But please go look it up after this. It's... They tried to make it hyper cinematic. She has a shirt of like the feminist symbol, like the symbol of Venus with a fist in it, and it says "You can do it, mija" underneath, because she's Latina, in case you forgot, right? And she's talking about how her dad or something like really supported her, and she's like, "Oh, but women are always like put down, but here in the CIA." Right, and they have like kids. They have like kids' drawings like around the CIA building or something, right? Yeah. And it's just supposed to. And she, oh my God,
children they've killed, they collected a drawing.
One of the pictures she has, I think it's like with McCain or something. It's like some war criminal, and she has this big fucking smile, like she's actually proud of this nonsense. And I'm just like,
I'm neurodivergent, non-binary, and I have a kill count of 60,000.
My God. You know something, if I remember correctly, the end of it, she ends it like, oh, I'm unapologetically myself, and I want you to be unapologetically yourself. And I'm like, are they truly, really trying to sell being true to yourself in a CIA recruitment ad?
Yeah, it's insane.
By the way, how is murder? I mean, okay, I mean that really comments on the American soul. But murdering third world brown people have never done anything to you might actually be being true to yourself and stuff. I mean, fuck, oh Lord.
Yeah, it is fascinating how they try to rebrand everything, like they've done with the M&Ms recently. M&Ms is facing like a child slavery lawsuit, and they're like, oh, we're gonna update the green M&M so it's more progressive. Come
if
on.
You look at if exactly but if you look at their channel, one very interesting thing happens. They tried a few videos with profiles, probably they recorded like 100, but only 3-4 actually came out of profiles of people who work there, so that they can push this sort of, oh, obviously we're not paying salaries as much as before, so we must hire some minorities over here. But if you look at the last 4 or 5 videos, they realize, okay, this doesn't work, so let's go back to good old McCarthyism. So most of them are about items which the CIA treasures a lot, and I clicked on one of them, and it's, this book was banned in the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. but the CIA, in order to fight for the freedom of the Soviet people, printed very tiny copies of it and flung it over the Berlin Wall so that people can actually read more about how much they are oppressed. True. But no, it's good. It's good. Like advertising guy again. Advertising guy part two in this episode. They hired a better dude. Like do a more honest thing. Like there's over 100. I don't know what year it was. I think 2018 or 2019. Over 135,000 Americans voluntarily applied to be a part of the CIA in that year. Yeah. And it's a very difficult application. Like you actually have to send serious documentation. It's not just click apply now on the website, probably over 1 million if we count those. But a proper good advertising, the marketing director for the CIA, recruitment marketing director for the CIA, should be like, dude, we have more than enough insane reactionaries that would love to do this job. But the problem there is insane reactionaries have not stepped out of their fucking mother's womb because they keep fucking it over in Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
And they don't speak a few languages. They don't know how to interact with a person who looks different than them for more than 3 seconds without calling them the N-word. So they can't really be recruited by the CIA in order to be sent abroad and in order to do what they need to do. So that's why the CIA is trying to get in on the wokes and shit, but it's obviously not fucking working well.
I remember, by the way, just a stupid side note, but for a bonus episode, we should actually go through the application, the CIA application.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! It's a ridiculous idea. Write it down in the Discord right now, motherfucker. That is fucking hilarious.
But yeah, I was just before. I remember the best part about this ad was the comments at the time when I scrolled down. A bunch of people were also making fun of, like, you know, how stupid that they're trying to wokeify this. But the amount of people who are like, what's it called? I fear for the future of this country, because like it's a Latino person working in the CIA. It's not a white person. I remember. See, like one comment was like, you know, the end part, which is like, I want you to be unapologetically you. And I remember one comment, and the guys wrote like, unless you're white, then you must apologize. I'm like, fucking, dude. And the racism. I remember one guy was like, why can't she get some of her CIA buddies to take care of those Los Angeles gangs then?
Jesus Christ. They managed to alienate every single viewer of that video.
Ever. Like, there's zero people who like that fucking video. This is literally
Hire Yugopnik. Hire Yugopnik.
No, comrades. No, they don't have to. There's already a comrade working in the marketing department of the CIA. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Maybe, literally, they may have just been smart enough to sit down and be like, how can I fool these 75-year-old old white man billionaires who run this fucking firm to look at an advertising proposal and agree to it, while at the same time it's going to be an ad which is not going to work in any way. And if there's an example of this, it's exactly this video. Like, nobody liked it. Absolutely nobody liked it. Except probably a few libs, but then again.
That's the Ivy League liberal crowd, but yeah, that's all they've got left. They've always been kind of the pool from which the CIA draws.
They're already recruited, right?
Like, yeah.
The private law firm, government law, or CIA or FBI. That's pretty much it. The only people the CIA really competes with is the FBI. Like, who gets to shoot black people locally or abroad, bro? So to wrap up, basically, guys, we went over every single aspect of things you might not have known that the CIA had done, both internationally, both domestically. We have definitely established the fact that Castro has fucked more women than you have. And most likely you should ask your mom about this very good-looking 6 out of 10 in capitalism, but 13 out of 10 in communism, a Spanish-speaking individual who smokes everything up in very, very good Siglo VI and Robusto Cohibas. And with that, we'd like to conclude the episode. Thank you for listening, as always. This is Yugopnik.
I'm JT.
And I'm Hakim. Go look up that picture of Justin Trudeau's mother making bedroom eyes at Castro.
And this has been the deprogram. Thank you very much.
See you next time.